This is WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul.
Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Salutations on this sweltering, sunny, sweaty day. My name is Jessica Levitt-Watara, and I'll be serving as your worship associate today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is off for the month of July. We have our guest speaker, Beth Remes, is our leader this morning. Our choir is also on summer break, and we will be returning in September. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of all who enter. We warmly welcome you, whether you're on YouTube or if you're here with us on site, wherever you may be on your journey. If you're visiting with us this morning, we like to make you feel welcome, and we have a tradition where we allow you to introduce yourself and tell us where you're visiting from, if you feel comfortable with that. Gail is going to bring you a microphone, and it's part of our commitment to accessibility to use microphones whenever possible so that everyone in the sanctuary and on YouTube can hear us. Are there any visitors on this side who would like to introduce themselves? Okay, we have a couple. Gail is bringing, will bring the mic to you.
Hi, good morning. I'm Kim Sladen. This is my third visit, and I hope to come more often. I moved to Savannah in October last year.
Welcome. There was one up here. Gail?
Good morning. My name is Barb Kessler. I am from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and I'm here visiting my daughter and son-in-law and my two grandbabies.
Welcome. And are there any visitors on this side who would like to introduce themselves? Okay. Great. Well, it's wonderful to have you all here with us, whether this is your first time or your 100th time or your 1,000th time or your 10,000th time. If you're looking for a new faith community, we encourage you to visit with us more than once to get a feel for our worship style and our approach to matters of faith and religion. I do invite you to join us in Ron Hall after the service today. I'm not sure if there's coffee or refreshments, but either way, as a professional yapper, I'm sure we can talk. Please follow the crowd through this door and go down the ramp, or you can leave out the front and kind of make a circle to go back through the courtyard and join us in the social hall. We have a couple of cards that are in the pew back in front of you. The first one is our rainbow chalice card. It's also bright yellow, so funny that we call it the rainbow chalice when we could just say the yellow card. Either way, this one is if you're new and you'd like to receive our newsletter and a welcome letter from our minister, you can either scan the QR code on the back or you can fill it out and drop it in the offering plate. We also have our Heart Chalice card. This is our Joys and Sorrows card. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you'd like to share, please write it on the card and pop that in the offering plate when it goes by as well. We do sing and speak some responses during our service. All of those are detailed out in our order of service. One is after the story for all ages, and one is after our joys and sorrows, and one is after our offering. So you will find those there. Church announcements are emailed to members and friends on Tuesdays and Fridays, so you can check your email about everything that's happening. You know, summer is a little bit slower here in Savannah, so church life also sort of slows down. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things for you to do. So check the order of service insert or those weekly e-blasts. With the lighting of our chalice, the symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighter this morning is Raven Dodd. In the Unitarian Universalist tradition, our chalice is symbolic of the light of reason, the warmth of community, and the flame of hope. Today, our chalice lighting words are from Andrew Kennedy. We come to love a church, the traditions, the history, and especially the people associated with it. And through these people, young and old, known and unknown, we reach out, both backward into history and forward into the future, to link together the generations in this imperfect but blessed community with memory and hope.
This is Call from Beyond by Susan Magan. From beyond the playful summer clouds, beyond the earth's thin blue line, from beyond the bright moon and meteor showers, we hear the call to look and listen carefully, to turn away from a world that buys and sells happiness, to fully experience the luring whisper of your heart's truth. Why not today? Why not now? We are here and together at home in this evolving place, home in this ever-changing breath and body, home in this dewy morning, even as it reaches toward a high, hot noon. We hear the call from far beyond and deep within, and we do not hear it alone. So come, let us worship together. Please rise in body or spirit for opening hymn number 44.
Thank you.
called Together by Mona Damluji, and illustrations are by Inosato Nagaro. One star shines as distant light. And when stars shine together, they make our galaxy. One bee wanders through my garden. And when bees work together, they are a colony. One bird calls into the wind. And when birds call together, they make a cacophony. One tree grows toward the sun. And when trees grow together, they make a canopy. One voice sings a tender song. And when voices sing together, they make harmony. One instrument plays an unforgettable beat. And when instruments play together, they are a symphony. One mountain rises to a mighty peak. And when mountains rise together, they are majesty. One wave is a surfer's dream. And when waves move together, they are an endless sea. One of us can make a home. And when we come together, we are family. One of us can love with all our heart. And when we love together, we build community. One of us can speak up for justice. And when we speak up together, we create a world of possibility. Thank you for being good listeners. This is your story. And sorrows, spoken and unspoken. I have a joy that I get to see my friend Paul Winston here today with us in church. It's great to have you, Paul. Will you please join me in our responsive reading, printed in the order of service? Sorrow is everywhere.
Yes, joy is
everywhere. As we mourn together, and offer thanks, so may it be now and in all the days to come.
This meditation is based on We Are the Great Turning podcast, bonus episode number 2, and Daniela Meadows' 1994 Envisioning a Sustainable World talk. I invite you to take a deep breath and settle into your body. You may close your eyes or soften your gaze. Feel your feet on the ground and notice the temperature of the air on your skin. Now let's zoom back in our mind's eye all the way out into space to see our Earth from above. Can you see it? Now begin to slowly zoom back into a different version of our world, one that is truly just and life-sustaining. Now continue zooming back in toward the land where we live, seeing the marshes, rivers, an ocean from above. and then zoom in even closer over the rooftops, all the way to your home. What does it feel like to wake up here in the morning? Where does your food, energy, and water come from? When you look out the window or step out the door, what does it look like? Who else lives around you, human and non-human, and how do you relate to each other? Now let's look around your neighborhood. How is it arranged so that children and elders and everyone in between are safe and happy and thriving? How are families taken care of? What kind of work do you do in this just life-sustaining world? What is your special role in your community? How does it feel to do this work, and who do you do it with? And what does joy, creativity, and celebration look like for you, your household, and your community? What makes life beautiful? How do you enjoy and interact with the natural world around you? Now let's look at the broader community that your neighborhood is a part of, your city, your state. How do people relate to one another here in this just and life-sustaining world? How do they meet their needs for food, clothing, transportation? How do they make decisions and resolve conflict? How do they treat people of different ages, genders, races, abilities, and talents? How do they fit in with nature? How do they relate to the plants, animals, soil, water, stones, and stars? And now we'll zoom back in, living this more just and life-sustaining world to come back to our own world as it is now. And as you open your eyes and come back, take a moment to notice how you feel after taking this journey. When you came in, you were likely handed a note card and a colored pencil. So I invite you to take a minute or two to write down what you saw, what you heard, what you smelled or felt on this journey into the future. And then after the service, as you exit Tehran Hall, there's a bulletin board there that says, "I went to the future and we're going to put your note cards up there. This is inspired by Rob Hopkins, author of How to Fall in Love with the Future.
They paid paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hotspot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away that DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paint paradise, put up a parking lot. But late last night, I heard the screen door slam. And a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
I have two readings for you today. The first one is Mornings at Blackwater Pond by Mary Oliver. For years, every morning, I drank from Blackwater Pond. It was flavored with oak leaves and also, no doubt, the feet of ducks. And always it assuaged me from the dry bowl of the very far past. What I want to say is, the past is the past, and the present is what your life is, and you are capable of choosing what that will be, darling citizen. So come to the pond, or the river of your imagination, or the harbor of your longing, and put your lips to the world and live your life. The next reading is an excerpt from a book called The Roots of Resistance. It's the sequel to The Dandelion Insurrection by Rivera Sun. We must hear from everyone, he wrote. Every person who has ever taken action with the Dandelion Insurrection. The man from the north called forward the voices from the Dandelion Insurrection, lifting the conversation on tactics out of the bullhorns of the few and into the hearts of the many. For too long, the loudest voices had dominated the discussions on tactics. Many people had been shoved into silence, and now was the time to speak out. He stepped down off his platform, quieted the roar in his throat, and beckoned to the timid, the shy, the tired, the weak. The choice was not a decision for one voice alone. In a leaderful movement, everyone had to step forward. Each person had to choose to embody the world they longed to create. From all directions and corners of the country they came. The man from the north was joined by the woman in the southeast, the kid on the coast, the guy in the Bible Belt, the school teacher by the lake. The answer to Charlie's passionate cry flew across the landscape of controversy with a golden clarity of heart. From the mechanic in the Rust Belt, the pastor up country, the emancipator down south, the free ranger in Texas, the fisherman in Maine. Letters and essays flooded the alternate. These were the voices silenced by the smash of windows and the vitriol of hate. These were the people who couldn't, who wouldn't throw bricks. They were the mothers and fathers who could not bring their children into a street fight. These were the original dandelions that had chosen nonviolence in dangerous times. We are the true roots of resistance, they declared, and the scraggly leaves, golden flowers, and wind-borne seeds. They remember the days when reading an essay was treason. They remember the courage it took to speak truth out loud at the dinner table. They remember the times when to be kind, be connected, and be unafraid was a dangerous and revolutionary act. They remembered how the dandelion insurrection emerged from the smallest stories of resistance. Mothers who told the truth, children who shared their lunches, men who stood together in times of distress, people who turned back the tide of fear in their hearts, and communities who burst forth with love. We are the dandelions, the insurrection against hate, the flowers bursting through concrete and the grip of control. We stand enduring, indomitable, and eternal. We are the body of the people, immortal. We'll outlast the dangers. We'll rise to the challenges. We'll live to see the dawn of our changes arrive with the sun. So please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 123. Well, thank you to Reverend Lisa and everyone here at UU Savannah for inviting me to speak today. I'm Beth Remes. I'm the Coastal Outreach and Resiliency Coordinator for Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, affectionately known as GIPL, and I work pretty closely with your green team here. If you're on the green team, would you mind raising your hand? Yes. Yay. Like the meditation we just participated in, there are many imagined versions of our world. Walk into any bookstore or scroll through streaming platforms, and you will find entire sections of speculative fiction dedicated to dystopian stories. An imagined world where the remaining people are on a scorched or flooded earth, fighting for survival. What if a regenerative, just, and peaceful world permeated our culture as much as or more than stories like The Handmaid's Tale or The Hunger Games? If Einstein is correct and our imagination is more important than knowledge and a preview of life's coming attractions, then let's use our moral imagination to tell a new story, where separation, scarcity, and power over is replaced with connection, abundance, and power with. Moral imagination is our capacity to imagine for the well-being of the whole. It allows us to imagine beyond how things could be to how things should be, and to look through the eyes of others and stretch the circle of moral concern. While speculative fiction and the vision for what is possible in a future world is dominated by these dystopian narratives, there are other subgenres that widen our sense of what is possible. There is solarpunk, which is a literary, artistic, and social movement that envisions and work toward actualizing a sustainable future, interconnected with nature and community. And I just learned about the term hopepunk, which explores resistance, rebellion, and resilience as counters to apathy and cynicism. Characters in this genre fight for positive change, practice radical kindness, and enact communal responses to challenges. I think many of Rivera's son's books, like the one I just read from, would fall into this category. Given that there are very few utopian novels in existence, maybe there is a sense that humans are too jaded or cynical to write about a perfect world. It's actually hard to even say the word utopia with like an out of note of sarcasm or an eye roll, isn't it? It seems so impossible. Instead, author and host of Accidental Gods podcast, Manda Scott, promotes the idea of Thrutopian narratives. Thrutopian visions craft grounded, plausible, and inspiring route maps from a recognizable present towards a future we'd be proud to leave behind. It arises because dystopian fiction does not offer us any rational way out of the apocalypse. She asks us to consider, what happens if we commit to a world based on generative values, like compassion, and courage, and integrity? What happens if we let go of the race for meaningless money and commit instead to the things that matter? Clean air, clean water, clean soil. What would the world feel like if I was genuinely connected to all parts of myself, to the people around me, my communities of place, and a purpose and a passion, and fully connected as a self-conscious node in the web of life? I was thinking about this vision and how we could create inspiring route maps when I was in Boston last week. And in between trains, I walked out of South Station under the Greenway for a few minutes, and I saw a beautiful, vibrant mural called the Midnight Ride. The description says, drawing upon practices of creative world building, the artists ask viewers to consider what their own midnight ride might be in our current moment. What is the work you engage in outside the hours of 9 to 5 that helps create the world we want to live in? I had not heard of the term creative world building, but it grabbed my attention. I looked up the definition, and it is the process of designing a fictional setting or universe for a story, game, or project. Components of creative world building typically include history and lore, setting and geography, culture and society, and rules and systems. So, using my moral imagination and evidence-based dreams that I have held onto for years, here's my attempt of creative world building with a Thrutopian vision to create a new story. In the year 2026, most people seem to operate in the business as usual story, where the goal is to maximize profits at the expense of people and planet. Faster, busy, and more are common mantras in this linear, power over, extraction-based system built on the fallacy of unlimited growth. Many scientists, scholars, and others woke from the delusions of consumer-driven society and often put much of their energy into detailing how business as usual is causing the great unraveling, from the catastrophic consequences of climate change to the economic and political instability that followed. But this caused many people to shut down and feel paralyzed. During this time, there are other groups of people who were tired of giving their life force energy to documenting and resisting the unraveling. They created islands of coherence in seas of chaos. They took many different forms and had many different names, like green teams, eco-spiritual futurists, solutionaries, deep adaptation networks, and transition towns. They were like points of acupuncture mapped out along a meridian throughout the world, stimulating personal and planetary healing. In 2040, one of these islands of coherence became a thriving community. So let's take a look at what it would look like to live there. Imagine waking up to natural light and bird songs flooding through the windows in your bedroom. Your home is modest, but it lovingly holds all the essentials and meaningful treasures that you have accumulated over the years. While you slept, the energy that your house collected from solar panels during the day kept the water warm for your shower, ran the appliances, and had surplus energy to store and give back to the main grid to help power the public utilities. Because your house is so energy efficient, it maintained a comfortable temperature while you slept. The water from your shower goes into a gray water system in your house, which supplies the toilets and is also used to water your garden, along with your rain barrels. You step outside and water your lovely garden with this reclaimed water and pick some ripe fruits for your breakfast, along with a few fresh eggs from your speckled heirloom chickens. Rather than a lawn, your land is filled with fruits, vegetables, and native plants, and habitats for butterflies and honeybees. A block up from your house is one of the many community gathering areas, with playing fields, open-air markets, storefronts showcasing local goods, meandering woodland paths with fruit trees, and a beautiful stage which showcases anything and everything, from bluegrass to classical music to dancing, storytelling, and art displays. As you walk through the commons, you pass by the co-housing units, where the dwelling areas are private, but the extensive common facilities are shared by the multi-generational residents. It is not uncommon to see teenagers helping out their elderly neighbors after school, or families making dinner together while their children play safely in the yard. Just a bit further down the permeable roadway is a community center, which is covered by a vertical garden and houses a local bank, tool library, book exchange, repair or reinvent shop, farm-to-table restaurant, rental center for cars and bicycles, and an internet cafe where you can log on into the community time bank and swap your carpentry skills for a friend's accounting skills. In this town, there is a business center hub where people from various professions share office space, so they are not isolated and have the benefits of office amenities, yet do not have to endure a long commute. The building is a zero-waste facility with a green roof, a courtyard, and small wind turbines and solar panels on the roof to generate electricity. Everything is reused, recycled, or composted. This hub is a center for learning, connecting, and sharing ideas using an open source methodology that promotes free redistribution and access to a product design and implementation. This office center is also home to one of the leading biomimicry firms, which uses nature's time-tested patterns and strategies to design a myriad of solutions, from more efficient wind turbines inspired by humpback whale fins to biodegradable textile fibers inspired by spider webs. AI is used in weather forecasting, climate modeling, environmental monitoring, and other data-heavy fields. But it is not a replacement for creativity and connection. At night, this community center offers a variety of lectures, films, debates, and music, which appeal to the diverse population in the area. At events like these, people celebrate their customs and traditions, but also realize that we are much more similar than we are different. For the people in this town who need to commute into the city or another surrounding area, they can walk to the closest train station, where a clean, renewable energy train runs every 10 minutes into town. Or they can use the extensive bike and walking trails, which are the main arteries linking neighborhoods together along the public transit system. Many corporations have given way to member-owned cooperatives. Business externalities are now part of the cost of doing business. And people and planet are just as important, if not more so, than profit. While the laws of the community are fair, unbiased, and communicated clearly, there are unfortunately times when a law is broken. This community justice system is modeled after the Maori, the indigenous people of New Zealand, where community is involved in the process and the intended outcome is repair. It is a restorative justice program which is designed to support offenders as they take responsibility and change their behavior, to empower the offender's families to play an important role in that process, and to address the victim's needs. In this community, there is less of an emphasis on party politics, yet there is a thriving democracy with engagement in local government and policies. The focus is primarily on creating a resilient infrastructure. Since the community produces a majority of its power, has reliable access to healthy organic food from its gardens and nearby producers, has a clean water source that maintains safe levels due to water conservation programs, and has mutually beneficial relationship with nearby communities, there is the sense that it would be able to recover from disruptions caused by climate change or global events. Because of the abundance of fresh fruit and vegetables from a nearby regenerative farm, a walking culture, and low stress levels to impart to a culture of community rather than consumption, people are generally healthier. But when a doctor's care is necessary, there is a publicly funded, state-of-the-art medical center close by, with a holistic approach to healthcare, including acupuncture, energy medicine, and a medicinal herb garden on the grounds. Near the healthcare facility lies an interdenominational worship center. Various groups in the community use the space and others nearby to come together to mark major life events and celebrate their faith traditions. People respect each other's beliefs and appreciate the freedom to explore their connection to the divine in the form that is most meaningful to them. The last stop on our tour around town is the beautiful school campus made up of living buildings that consists of 7 performance categories or petals: place, water, energy, health and happiness, materials, equity, and beauty. There are outdoor classrooms and permaculture gardens which supply the culinary arts program and cafeteria. In addition to the core courses and valuable life skills, students are taught nonviolent communication, systems thinking, mindfulness and meditation, and how to be responsible global citizens who advocate for humans, animals, and environmental rights. This school encourages lifelong learning by offering continuing education classes at night on a whole wide array of topics. As we watch the children climbing on the playground that is made from reclaimed and recycled materials, we see the light in their eyes that comes from being born into a community where they will never face discrimination based on their gender, race, or sexual orientation. They also know that they are free to pursue their gifts and cultivate their talents without sacrificing prosperity, because they live in a place where they are valued and fulfilled by the simple pleasures in life. There is peace in your heart because you can see this way of life continuing for the next seven generations. What story about the future does your moral imagination want to tell? What memories of the future are we envisioning that create a longing and a deep felt sense of what we're building toward, not just running from? I encourage you to join with others like Gipples Green Team Summit in August, some information down there, to expand this vision of a peaceful, regenerative community and become co-creators in our conscious evolution. So let us rise, embody your spirit for hymn number 203. May we go forth and participate in creative world building with a vision rooted in love and justice. May this new story motivate and empower us to chart a course and take steps to help us create a regenerative, just, and peaceful home where all beings can thrive.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.